I think for the last year, I haven't been able to do something contiguous, which I think was really my strength over the years, that I would teach book after book after book after book. So now I'm going to do something contiguous now. I'm going to do the prayers of Queen Kunti. That's the eighth chapter of the first canto, text 18. There will be some challenges today to doing it. And maybe before I start, I'll explain the challenges. At least for today, is we're having our Kali Yoga fest. And I'm sitting here on the veranda of our property, looking out to our property. And whoever just came on, you have to mute your phone, please. I think we have $3,000-$4,000 of tents, which for this country is quite an incredible amount of money, but maybe $2,000-$3,000, I'm not sure, but it's in the thousands. One for our main stage, and then there's about seven other things. And it's kind of like there's four different stations where activities will be going on, the best yoga teachers in the city, different lectures. I have a particular space where I'll be answering questions. I'll also be giving one of the main lectures. We have booths of prasadam, actually. Our own cook is one, and then one of our congregation members, 5 minute walk from us, has a cold press juices, organic. This is probably the place with the best thing. So the other thing is, there's a very, very loud kirtan in the back with Janavi, which just lowered, so maybe I can begin the class. But yeah, we have almost 250 people that paid in advance. There's quite a substantial charge for the festival. And then, people will come at the door, plus there's probably about 80 or 100 people that are involved in the different booths and have rented out different booths. So it's quite exciting in terms of the prospects for bringing these type of people to Krishna consciousness, and the piety of the people sometimes, it's kind of really amazing. I went to one lunch. One young lady was in New York recently, her parents' house. The culture of the people is amazing, their respectfulness, etc. Okay, now let's get on with this. Okay, verse 18 of the eighth chapter of the first canto. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Kunt Uvacha Namasye Purisham Tvadyam. Ishvaram prakrite param alakshyam sarvabhutanam antir bahir avastitam. Srimati Kunti said, O Krishna, I offer my obeisances unto you because you are the original personality and are unaffected by the qualities of the material world. You're existing both within and without everything, yet you are invisible to all. Purport, Srimati Kunti Devi was quite aware that Krishna is the original personality of Godhead, although he was playing the part of her nephew. Such an enlightened lady could not commit a mistake by offering obeisances unto her nephew. Therefore, she addressed him as the original Purusha beyond the material cosmos. Although all the living entities are also transcendental, they are neither original nor infallible. Living entities are apt to fall down under the clutches of material nature, but the Lord is never like that. In the Vedas, therefore, he is described as the chief amongst all living entities, Nityo Nityanam, Chaitanas Chaitananam. Then again, he's addressed as Ishvara, or the controller. The living entities, or the demigods, like Chandra Sura, are also to some extent Ishvara, but none of them is the supreme Ishvara, the ultimate controller. He is the Param Ishvara, or the super soul. He is both within and without. Although he is present before Srimati Kunti as her nephew, he was also within her and everyone else. In Bhagavad Gita 15:15, the Lord says, I'm situated in everyone's heart, and only due to me one remembers, forgets, and is cognizant, etc. Through all the Vedas, I am to be known because I am the compiler of the Vedas, I am the teacher of Vedanta. Queen Kunti affirms that the Lord, although both within and without all living beings, is still invisible. The Lord is, so to speak, a puzzle for the common man. Queen Kunti has experienced personally that Krishna was present before her, yet he entered within the womb of Uttara to save her embryo from the attack of Ashwatthama and Brahmastra. Kunti herself was puzzled about whether Sri Krishna is all-pervasive or localized. In fact, he is both, but he reserves the right of not being exposed to persons who are not surrendered souls. This checking curtain is called Maya energy of the Supreme Lord, and it controls the limited vision of the rebellious soul. It's explained as follows. Omigana timurandasya gananjana chalakaya takshurunmulatam yena tasmai sri gurave namaha. Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Dapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapatantikam Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivas Adi Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay, now they're going to check the sound system on the stage, which will be another obstacle. Let me just ask them something. Okay, they're not doing it right now. You know, I love in the Bhagavatam how Krishna is presented both as Aishwarya and Madhura, both his position and intimate personality are presented. Ultimately, the fullness of Krishna is his personality. But until you really develop that intimate relationship and love for Krishna, where you can constantly experience that, unless you understand something of his Aishwarya, you won't have full respect. I always refer to the 15th chapter of the 10th canto, where Krishna's sweetness is mentioned, and now they said, Isha Chastita. Now we will present his activities as Isha, or the control. And then there's the Otam Protam verse. Otam and Protam means he's a horizontal. Someone just came on that has to mute their phone. He's he's the horizontal and vertical threads. In other words, he's the substance and basis of everything. Everything is resting on me as pearls are resting on a thread. It's not only he's resting on a thread, but he actually, the pearls to him too, everything is Krishna. Mayatatami dam sarvam jagat avyaktam. Everything is based on him. Everything is his energy. Jadmad yasya yataha. So, but that concept of him, it has some necessity of creating the mood of service, which is the foundation, of all relationships. Basically, servitude is the basis of all relationships. So even to appreciate Madhurya, you know, conjugal relationship or Vatsalya, the parental relationship, there has to be a foundation of servitude. It's only in the intimate relationships that the sweetness that is exchanged that inspires the mood that I want to serve you. But I have my hands over my ears just to tell you what's happening. On one side, I got the stage that is testing their thing. The other side is the our temple room, which is blasting kirtan. And I don't feel that I should go around and stop anything because the festival is the main activity that's going on here. But it's definitely a bit of a challenge. And I'll have to go with that challenge, because I always say to speak properly, you have to come to the level of unconscious competence. There's a certain flow. But it takes an initial concentration to actually get there. Because anybody that speaks knows that as you're speaking, your mind is also working. And if you're an experienced speaker like me that has reference to the Shastra, that as you're speaking, the whole flow and the different points that are coming and the connections, you know, but if you're externally disturbed, you forget those connections. And then the lecture becomes disjointed. But there's a very important thing that I'm trying to express here. Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan. He's a Supreme Personality of Godhead. I spoke on Janmashtami here, and my sutra was position covers personality. The fullness of being is one's love, which is only expressed in intimacy. And intimacy requires an equality or an inferiority. So in Krishna's, God's full manifestation is not majesty. And that's one of the main points of the Bhagavatam. You know, one thing that's very, very interesting to me is when you see things that have never expressed before but seem so profound. And one of those is that I've never heard it spoken, but it was a revelation to me when I was studying the Bhagavatam and I was studying the Gita. What really amazed me is that the first time we see Krishna in the book that Krishna spoke, and the book that's about Krishna, the two main books, the Bhagavad Gita spoken by Krishna, the Bhagavatam about Krishna, we see him in the same place, in inferiority. Because when he's in inferiority, in position, he's the chariot driver. There's no inhibition for the person in that relationship to express themselves fully. There's no inhibition for a mother who is in the position of superiority to express herself fully to her child. So that's there. And actually, that happened. This is the eighth chapter. I believe that happened in the seventh chapter. Krishna is on the chariot. That's how we see him in the beginning. And when he's on the chariot, he's not just driving the chariot. When Arjuna gets down from the chariot, he holds his hands. And then, you know, then Krishna goes to the fields and gets grass to feed the horses. And then he's hosing down. I know hosing. He's bucketing down the chariot. He's cleaning it. Krishna is the driver. And in that same position of inferiority, he is the nephew of Kunti. And she loves him as a nephew. And Krishna loves that type of love. Just like with Lord Chaitanya and Advaita Acharya, he wanted the intimate love of Advaita Acharya, but Advaita Acharya was the guru. Or Advaita Acharya wanted the intimate love of Lord Chaitanya. He wanted Lord Chaitanya to express himself fully and not be checked by his reverence for him. And then he purposely preached some upper Siddhantic philosophy, and Lord Chaitanya got angry with him. So this intimacy is such an amazing thing. So this is actually what is happening here, and Kunti sees it. Now, what's happening here? Kunti sees her nephew. Enter into the womb of her daughter-in-law. She sees his power. She realizes his power. And therefore, her Madhurya is covered by her Aishwarya. Where usually Madhurya covers Aishwarya. Just like in Vrindavan. Krishna's power and opulence is always covered. And their love, they can't see it. Krishna's holding up Govardhan Hill, and they think it's somebody mystic. He's holding up Govardhan Hill. They think, oh, he's a mystic person. There's some mystic. It must be Brian. No matter what happens, they just can't see it. So it's normally Madhurya Bhav covers Aishwarya. But in this instance, Kunti's Madhurya, that Krishna was a nephew, is being covered by Aishwarya. And the Bhav of Krishna's glory is supreme. It comes forth. Anyway, this is always the approach. There has to be that respect. There has to be that respect. Even the cowherd boys, you know, they fight with Krishna, they defeat Krishna. Somehow that respect sometimes comes. But when you have Madhurya, the Aishwarya is always temporary. the sense of reverence, because it only increases the maduria. It's like, oh, this is my nephew, and now they see the nephew as the president, they see the nephew as the king, and you know, they may also feel that respect, but that respect will only increase the internal feeling that, oh, my nephew becomes more strong than the president. My nephew is the president. So there may be that regard, and this is, my nephew is God. So, of course, in Vrindavan, that Aishwarya never covers the Madhurya. But here, it's also, it's a wonderful thing. And it's a kind of rasa, and it's natural for a devotee to become prayerful from Krishna from time to time. Arjuna also had that when he saw the universal form. And therefore, in Vrindavan, it's never covered. Yashoda saw the entire universe in Krishna's mouth, and she thought it was an illusion. Sometimes Krishna would kill demons. And then sometimes the cowherd boys would come back and tell everyone that, you know, he must be this, that he must be the Supreme Personality. And then Krishna would wake up, and then sometimes, I kill the demons, Mom, I'm the Supreme Personality of God. And then she slaps him for thinking it's so offensive. And he tries to tell his friends, and they just think he's arrogant. And every time he does something great in Vrindavan, the conclusion was he's just blessed by Lord Narayana. During the Damodar Leela, where Krishna was tied up, Balaram became angry, shouting, and he replied that, who is tied up? Krishna. You don't know. And Balaram says, I'm the Supreme Lord, and so is Krishna. And you better untie him. I will manifest my form as Sheshanaga, and I will burn everything. And what did Mother Yasoda do? She just was sarcastic. What, every incarnation appears in my house? There's no other houses that God can appear? One smack with this stick and you'll both forget this incarnation nonsense. And then Balaram, he gets scared, he runs away. So, Kunti, in this particular verse, this first verse, she witnesses Krishna's supreme power in protecting her family. And then uncharacteristically, she addresses him, let me bow down. Namaste. To you who are Adyam, the original personality. And Krishna responds, like, what are you saying? I'm your nephew. How can I offer obeisances to you? Prabhupada spoke on this in L.A. once, 24 consecutive days. So these going to be the prayers of Kunti Devi. And we should say just something about Kunti Devi, a little historical account first. She was born to Surasena, that's Vasudeva's father. So, um, So in one sense, therefore she's treated as an aunt. And this king, Surasena, he had a very close friend named Kunti Bhoja. And that friend didn't have any children. So Maharaj Surasena was so affectionate, he said, when I get the next child, I'll give it to you. And then he hands over his child, who he named Pritha, to King Kunti Bhoja. And then the king, now he finally had a child. He was so affectionate. He named the daughter Kunti. And she was so virtuous. I mean, look at her family. Her brother is, her biological brother is Krishna's father. No, her biological brother, was Krishna's father, so she's Krishna's aunt. And look at her family. Vasudeva was Anukudundade. When he was born, there were trumpets and there were trumpets. Anakadundavi, there were trumpets and drums playing in the air because such an exalted personality would be born, who was Ashavanda, who meant that his hope and desire for good can never be bound by anything. And then she marries Pandu. Then she gets a good husband, who is the most powerful king on the planet. And her nature was always to serve the saints and to serve the Brahmins. And that service attitude of hers was just so profound that she even managed to please Durvasa Muni, who is the most hot-tempered and powerful sage in that era. And he was so pleased. There's many stories of that, but she was so pleased that she was so pleased. That he kind of knew phrenology. He could study a person's life by reading the head, and he saw that you'll have difficulty conceiving children. So he gave her a special mantra and then taught her how to use the mantra that she can attract any demigod and bless her to have a child. So that's the basic thing. And then the story was, there was a Muni and wife, and they're living in the forest, and they're kind of renunciates by living in the forest, but they still Brihasan, they decided that they would produce a child for humanity because they were so pious, and that's the law of karma. You know, if you're a good family, then a deserving child will come. That's karma. If you're pious and you're good, etc., who is the child that deserves that? I see right now, you know, so many people, second generation now, are pregnant and having children. Somehow, I just got a letter from Dunya in Bali. He wrote me and have a child, and both chanted 50 rounds. I wasn't sure they exactly wrote me, but they did, asking for blessing. We chanted 50 rounds, and we wanted to be a devotee of Lord Chaitanya, we're constantly reading Chaitanya Charitamrita. You know, and look at the family. What is the child that will deserve to have that situation? That's why there's Garbhandham Samskaras, these Samskaras that you create impressions. I always notice sometimes that when a good family has a child, they get a bigger house. because they didn't deserve it, but maybe the child did, or something like that. So they wanted to produce a child, but they were in the forest. So they thought if anybody saw this, it'd be scandalous because we're dressed as kind of renunciates. Renunciates should be celibate. We're not renunciates, but we're living in the forest and we look this way. And, you know, this could be really, really scandalous. And, you know, so they had mystic powers, so they changed into deer. So no one recognized while they're conceiving a child. Well, Pandu happened to be hunting in the forest. That's what kings did, and he was practicing. And unfortunately, they got shot as if they were ordinary deer, but actually it was the Muni and his wife. And the Muni was so enraged and he was dying, he cursed Pandu that the next time he had any sexual activity with his wife, he would die. And, you know, these are saintly people, so when they make a mistake, they own it. So immediately he went to the forest. He wanted to go to the forest, perform tapasya, repent his things, sadhu mene, Maharaj Prickett, when he made a mistake, and then he was cursed. He said, "Sadhu, I think this is good." It's just, what a consciousness, right? When you do wrong, you want to rectify it, not justify it. It's such a consciousness. We are lacking character in the modern age, but people really had character. They weren't afraid to be ruled by truth. That's why guru means heavy. Not heavy that the position is heavy, but the knowledge is heavy. Authority is not position, authority is knowledge. And knowledge is heavy, because if you have character, it rules your life. Not your whims and desires. And we are so afraid of losing the freedom to move according to our whims and desires that we envy guru. That's predicted in the Bhagavatam 5,000 years ago. Acharya mam vijanayam navamanyet dakarja. We should respect the acharya as one's very self. We should not envy him in any way. 5,000 years ago, why envy? Because it restricts our control and enjoyment. And that's antithetical to the false ego. So it was the same. What's going on? Oh, okay, they're fixing it. Okay. When one's a sage, your primary faith and happiness is the soul and not control. That's your primary faith. And therefore, that's the way you move in life. That's the way you move in life. That's your goal and objective. So when you get cursed because you did something wrong, your first reaction is, I did something wrong. It's like a child. He comes from a good family and then he's punished, he'll cry. If you ask him why he cries, he said, I'll do something wrong. But if a child is not cultured, he doesn't have a relationship with the family. If the child's not cultured, then he gets punished. Why are you crying? Because he, you know, he did this to me. Because my parents, they put me in time out. But the cultured person sees their mistakes according to their own, sees the things they do wrong according to their own mistakes. So then he goes to his wives and tells them that, you know, I can't have children. And he said, couldn't you have this prayer and you should use the mantra to get children? And don't think it's wrong to get children for another man, because I'm your husband, I'm giving you permission to do it. And what did Kunti do? Her character, she immediately refused, saying she'll only have children from him. And if not, she would rather not have any children at all. And Pandu kept on insisting. He said, you know, in the future, the royal throne will be angry. And anyway, if you're summoning the demigods are in everybody's body anyway. This is not, they're just ordinary people. And finally, he's only able to convince her by instructing her to summon Dhammaraj. He said, because, look, if it's against religious activities, Dharmaraj would not do anything against Dharma. She said, okay, that's fair. So she calls Dhammaraj, and then she has Yudhisthira. And then she understands that it's not wrong. And then Yudhisthira was born. And then she heard a voice from the sky saying he'd become the most truthful and righteous personality with every rule. And then, then Kunti called Vayu. Bhimasena is born, Indradyumna, and Indradev, and then Arjuna, and then the interesting thing is that nature of character. Kunti Dev said, "I will enter the fire." Oh no, then what happened is Pandu, his wife, Madri, was younger, and she's so beautiful. And he just patted her affectionately, and then he died. And then Kunti wanted to enter into the fire. Okay, I'm probably going to have to end now because there's so many things to say, but I'll just give you the vision. It's so beautiful. I'm facing our front gate. And there's a small, it's almost like a dirt road that comes across. And at the end of the property, the road in front of us, there's another gate. And somehow, even though we're in the city in the south, there's a horse farm. They're now selling it to do something. But we use that as a parking lot. So I'm watching all these cars just pass by and drop off people. And then I'm just seeing people just coming into our property, 300 people of just, you know, I guess, you know, in a country like this, even in America, it's the yogis for the educated class, what to speak here. And, you know, Jai Jagannath's here and Atul Krishna. And Yadaraj. Yeah, I just see my dentist walk in. And at the end of the whole function, there's also a nice, really expert musicians, expert, called the Bhakta Project. You could look it up online, called the Bhakta Project. They're fantastic. Great musicians. So they'll play a concert at the end, and then we have from Mayapur Gurukul, now they're older, Atul Krishna and Yadaraj, and we'll have a spectacular fire yagya with kirtan. So it's just a really, you know, this is my life, giving Krishna consciousness, and I'm just watching this in ecstasy as all these people come in. And I have to say, the people here really... this year organized it fantastically. How are you doing? Very good. What's that? Yes. What's your name? Oh, you've been here before.
Yeah.
What?
I'm with you now.
Oh, Oh, you're teaching now? Okay, good luck. Thank you. Okay. Okay, anybody like to say hello? I'm sorry I couldn't really concentrate, but.
Have a great time, Maharaj. It's Betty.
Okay, Betty. Betty, I wish you were here. You were here before, right? Okay.
I wish I was there, too.
When we open our new property, you'll have to come to the opening.
It's a date.
Okay. Anybody else?
Hi, Krishna.
Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
Okay, I think I hit Kalachandri. Is that you? And
yes. Okay. Hi, Krishna.
Okay, anybody else say hello?
Hey, Krishna Guru Maharaj. This is Paul Govinda. I'm Raja Sundarana. Hi, Krishna.
Okay, I heard Lal Govinda. Okay, who else?
Hi, Krishna.
Raja Sundarana.
Oh, Haribo. Haribo. Okay, who else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Tota Gopinath here.
Kishori Radha.
Haribo. Kishori Radha. Haribo. Now you'll see
Krishna.
Words. Who's that?
It's me. I guess I can save my question for another time.
I will, because also the thing is going off, the reception is going off, but Gail, I'll have to say, that question, that call that you wanted to make me, I can say it indirectly, Gail was on a conference call, and someone highly criticized someone who's very revered, one of my godbrothers, very revered, and they had the wrong person. And then Gail wanted to call me to check it out. Yeah, it was the wrong person. So they criticized someone for something that wasn't even the person. So my message to that person, Gail, if that did that, they have to find everyone that's on that conference call and clear it up and find out everyone on that conference call they spoke to, and they have to clear it up. Otherwise, it's a great offense, especially the person who they were criticizing. Wow.
Yeah. That's my hope.
That's my message from me. I don't even know who it was that said that. Okay. Anybody else?
Yeah, thank you, Maharaj. Thank you.
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. Shurupa.
Hey, Shurupa. Hi, Bo. Sri Rupa, in the future, you have to come out here with some friend, too.
I would love to.
Yeah. Okay, anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Gloria.
Oh, I'll see you in about a half hour. Okay, or an hour.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Who? Can say it again?
Rajaradhe.
Rajaradhe, okay. Haribo. And who else?
Deva Priya.
Wow, so nice to hear from you. Wow, thank you so much. Okay. Okay, I'm going to have to get going now. It's just, you know, I can spend a lot of time alone chanting, but I can also take a lot of energy from the outside, and it's kind of a feast for me actually seeing what's going on here. The quality of people that are walking in the door, it's amazing. And I better get prepared. Okay, thank you all. Hare Krishna.